The truth of any matter can be a continuous search. How do you determine it? What is the barometer you use to establish verity in your life? There are so many outlets vying for your attention, attempting to define and redefine truth at every turn. The verity of the Word of God is the only standard that matters and never changes. It is the only truth that is perpetual and invariable, whether you believe it or not. Relying upon it as the authority in your life will bring you closer to your purpose and align you with its verity. Please join me on this episode of the Spoken Verity Podcast as my co-host and I speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God in love. Welcome to the Spoken Verity Podcast. My name is Arthur Medina, and it is my honor and privilege to host episode 2 of our podcast. With me are co-hosts Remy Echo and Brother Wiley Harris III. We will be rotating episodes as primary hosts amongst us as we share with you God's word. Next week, Brother Remy will bring you episode 3. So as we start this episode 2, I just want to say that I mentioned last week that we would be speaking about fact versus faith. We can also say that science versus faith, because scientists tend to act in an official capacity when in fact it's just guesstimation. So before we start unpacking, I do want to take time to go into prayer and ask the Lord to join us and be with us and lead and guide us through His Holy Spirit. So we'll take the time to say a prayer. Lord, we just humbly come before You in Jesus' name. And we thank You, Lord, for this opportunity and this platform to share Your word, and that You would give us the words of wisdom and discernment, and that our listeners would be blessed and encouraged by the words we share. Above all else, Lord, we pray that someone that listens today will come to know You as Lord and Savior. And Father, we just thank You for the so many different things that I'm sure we're going to talk about that'll be personal experiences and our hopes and dreams as Christians. And just let this be to Your glory, Father. And we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Last week, Brother Wiley unpacked a whole bunch of stuff. I like using his favorite word, unpack, you know. But Brother Wiley, you want to touch a bit about our previous recap a little bit about what we talked about last week? And good morning, Brother.
Good morning. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, morning.
We talked a lot last week about just knowing who you are as a believer. What do believers in Jesus Christ do? What does that look like? And you know, we had an opportunity to be able to share that, and I think we mentioned a lot of things that would be familiar to believers, and hopefully some unbelievers that would be listening to our show would understand, you know, exactly what a believer in Jesus Christ looks like, actually speaking the name of Jesus and not being afraid to do that in your public and your private lives. And, you know, it was just an opportunity to be able to glorify His name. Jesus Christ is our risen personal Savior, and we were speaking that and doing that with love and grace for those that heard it, uplifting each other and allowing Holy Spirit to speak through us. And so encourage all of the listeners, if they did miss episode 1, to go back and go to our website, thespokenverity.fm, and see if they can pick it up and find it and listen to episode 1. It'll bless you.
Amen. Definitely a blessing. Do you want to say something, Brother Remy?
Yeah, episode 1 was great, man. What it means to be a follower. And like my brother said, we talked a lot about what that means. One thing I want to add to all that I said our last episode was, you know, I mentioned about that, which is what something you brought, Brother Otto, about when you squeeze lemon, you get lemon juice, orange juice. And then when you squeeze a Christian, what you get? That leads to fruit of the Spirit, right? You know, and what it means to be a follower of Christ means you have to have that fruit. So when you're squeezed, so to speak, that should come out of you, you know, patience, long suffering, kindness, you know, humility and all that. So I just wanted to add that piece to what I said about being a follower of Christ from last episode.
Amen. Amen. That's the beauty of the Bible. And when we engage in this type of dialogue, I've heard it said that the Bible is so deep, theologians can drown in, but it's shallow enough that babies can swim in, you know? And that's, you know, God's word is so inspiring, especially to me, you know, not really having a religious background. And I think that helps with the topic of today, fact versus faith. For me, it's kind of tough sometimes. And I've always said that, you know, I don't really know when I'm supposed to say amen sometimes. I don't know when I'm supposed to say hallelujah sometimes, because we as Christians tend to fall into this trap of religion. And that has nothing to do with faith. Nothing. One of the things that I appreciate so much about you brothers is that whether we're doing this podcast or we're hanging out over here where Brother Wiley treats us to snooze, you know, something, they didn't pay me for that plug, by the way, you know what I'm saying? You know, we're the same and consistent, you know, and it's a lifestyle that we live. And even in those trying, tough moments that all three of us, you know, go through, you know, we're consistent, you know, and that's what's so inspiring and encouraging, that, you know, it's just simply being real about it. You know, we don't pretend that we got it all together. We don't put on these airs of upper echelon of the brotherhood type stuff. You know what I'm saying? You know, we simply are men of God who truly take God at his word.
Amen.
And allowed him to transform us and make us the people he wants us to be. And that we will walk in that purpose, you know?
Amen. And
so all too often, we will allow the world's influence to kind of dictate to us. And sometimes, you know, we don't even realize that we're allowing that to happen, because sometimes we don't have that balance. You know what I'm saying? So one of the questions that probably I'm going to start out with in asking you guys, for people listening, to think about, you know, because there's going to be a time, there's going to be that kairos moment where God's going to need you to answer the question, answer the bell. You know what I'm saying? And that is this: how would you respond to someone, you know, not bombarding them with scripture, but maybe in a practical way somehow, that God is the creator of life? How would you answer that? And I'm going to start with Brother Remy. I want to ask you that first. How would you respond to that?
Okay. Thank you, brother. But before I jump into answering your question, could you take a moment just to explain what a kairos moment is for people that are listening and have no idea what that means when you say they will have a kairos moment?
I don't know. I just used it. Sounded good. No, I'm just kidding, man.
I was about to be like, oh,
it's actually we're going to delete that.
Wow.
It's actually a Greek word that means a moment in time.
Mm.
That's really a divine appointment. It's a kairos moment. Scripture, I can't recall right now exactly where that scripture is, but that's what it means. A particular moment in time that was ordained by God. It's a divine moment.
Okay. Thank you, brother. So your question is, how would I respond to someone using scripture in a practical way? Or
because sometimes, you know, we can use, again, it can be that we use the King James Version and the person's going to look like, what are you talking about, Willis? You know what I mean? It's like, you're going to lose people. And And I tend to use different translations. I'll use the Message, you know, or NIV. I tend to migrate more with New American Standard Version. But then when we do our exegetical study, then we use all of them together for the most part. But how would you answer somebody and say, man, there is no God? How do you know there's a God?
The Bible tells me that there is a God. And I believe the Bible to be the truth of God's word, right? It's almost like, you know, the episode is titled Fact versus Faith or Science versus Faith. And, you know, science, you're supposed to start off with an open mind and then you investigate. But most scientists already start off with evolution. So it's almost like they're coming in biased. And if you are really being a scientist and want to, you have such questions about, okay, is there God? Then you should really, literally, as part of your investigation, read the Word of God and not read it as a textbook, like, okay, this is a science textbook, which the Bible isn't. The Bible is, as the Holy Spirit says, divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. Even if we have names of Paul and John and all that, you know, it's the Word of God through the Holy Spirit coming through these individuals. So there is a God because my Bible tells me that, right? I want to go to Romans chapter 1, verse 20. From the New King James Version, it says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Right? Mm-hmm. So if we take that and try to expand that, creation itself testifies to the existence, the greatness, the power, and the glory of God. If we look at life as itself, how ordered it is, you know, the seasons, the coming in, there is a divine being that is in charge of all of this. So I believe that there is a God because the Bible tells me that there is a God.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Wiley, how would you unpack it?
Well, first of all, typically when you get a question like this, this is coming from someone that is exploring it, trying to figure it out, or may not even believe it. So whether the question or the person that's asking it is practical or not, I'm going to go to scripture. I mean, that's just the way I answer it. That's the way I'm going to answer it. And when I was looking at this question, that was kind of the first thing that came into my mind. When someone asked that question, do they really want to know, or are they looking to kind of start something sometimes? And that's kind of where that goes. But either way, I'm still going to go to scripture. And there's four verses, two old and two new, that I would focus on. And I touch both testaments just in case this person may think that one was done away with. You know, we hear that a lot. Well, we don't look at the old anymore. We don't look at the new only in certain versions. So, you know, it's something that is very important for our listeners to understand that, you know, encompass all of scripture and more importantly, be led by Holy Spirit. Because if this person is asking you this, this is now an opportunity, regardless of what their motive is, to be able to just show the love and the grace in terms of answering that question, God being the creator of life. And so the first thing you go to is Genesis. I mean, it says in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I mean, again, if you believe that the word of God is inerrant and that what it is, it says what it says and it is what it is, then whatever scriptures that we are mentioning in terms of answering this question is going to stand. Mm-hmm. That's the first one. The second one is in Isaiah 40:28. And I do read from the King James. I like the flow of it. The wording is just something that's what I cut my teeth on. I do look at other translations, the Message, the Amplified, NIV at times, but I just stick with the King James. It's just, you know, what I was raised on. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. Now, that's in the NIV there, actually. So, again, these, if you're focusing on what's practical, to me, the word is practical because it's how I live my life. Now, instead of sometimes us attempting to get on the level of people that don't think in those ways, our jobs, I believe, from Holy Spirit, depending upon who he sends you to, is to help to bring them up. I think a lot of times we try to come down on people's levels, and that's fine. But when we're speaking, Holy Spirit will be speaking through us to those people. So even though you may think that it's on a lower level or a higher level or what have you, the words that you're speaking according through Holy Spirit to them is going to help them to be able to receive it. So however they determine it, however they receive it, is where you need to be focused on in disseminating scripture. Romans 1:25 says, "For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." And again, this reiterates God being the creator of life. The last one was in Colossians 1:15-17. And this one, this scripture, three scriptures here is something that I love. This Colossians 1:15-17. It says, "He is the image and of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist." Again, if the word of God is the barometer, the standard in which you live your life, and how you understand truth and the verity in the word, then these scriptures will hold as the answer to the question. Everything God created, even the authorities that are in the earth now, wicked or non-wicked. He says, "I set up kings and I sit down kings." He didn't differentiate between whether they were wicked or not. So everything is controlled by our Holy Spirit of God. And so to answer that question, I answer it with those four scriptures.
Amen. You know, you want to say something, Brother Remy?
Yeah. You know, most people don't really have an issue. Some people still doubt God. Yeah, it's still atheist. But it's Christ that most people have issue with, right? It's Christ, because it's because Christ is the foundation of Christianity. We have different religions. So to a large extent, yeah, there is God. Muslims believe it. Hindus believe it. But Christianity now adds a separate point to it. And doubting Christ is where most of these conversations or arguments, you know, so to speak. I'm just reminded of 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul was talking and he made this statement. Let me quickly pull it up here. 1 Corinthians 15:14. "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith also is empty," right? So pretty much he's saying that Christianity is not just warm, fuzzy feeling, that Christianity is grounded in history. Because if you go back in that passage to, like, maybe I think chapters 3 up to like 7 or 8, he lists the weaknesses that saw Christ, you know, after his resurrection. So Christianity can be examined, can be discussed, and can be debated. You know, it's something that is inherent in history, but that's just what I wanted to add.
Amen, amen. You know, when you talked about Remy, I didn't want to interrupt y'all while y'all were talking, but when Remy was saying that people tend to have this thing about believing in evolution, well, you got to be careful about believing in evolution, because that will make a monkey out of you. I'm just saying.
Here we go.
I'm just saying.
We're back with these one-liners.
So, but Brother Wiley, you hit the scripture that I like looking at too, when you know, sharing with someone who is receptive to answer of the question. You know, sometimes the question being asked, like you say, has an ulterior motive attached to it. And I'll get to that, but the scripture in Romans 1, in the context of what you read in Romans 1, 25, I'd come up a few verses up, and it says in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
That's right. Amen.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't say amen, say ouch.
Mm.
Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God.
Yes.
Nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
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 You know, and so Paul understood when he wrote this, I would not doubt that in the time, because he was in Rome, he was faced and had to answer those questions numerous times because of the historical context of the setting at that time. And so this is like very powerful for answering that. But from a practical standpoint, here's the challenge for all of us. And here's what I say. Not everyone is going to take the time, Brother Wiley, to read the Bible. And Brother Remy, you know that there's many, many, many people who, even today, as we go to church, we can see it, man. You can hear it. You can tell that they're still babies in Christ and haven't learned to depend and stand on God's word. You see what I'm saying? So the challenge for us is that from a practical standpoint, we are the Bible that they will read. You understand what I'm saying by that? That instead of opening the Word of God, they will see your life, our life, and say, man, there's going to be something different about you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to look at us and say, man, that guy right there, you know, even under pressure, even when he's squeezed, you know, he's still praising and worshiping God in the most adverse, difficult circumstances. You know, can I get a witness? You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. No.
And I'll say that from a personal standpoint, not having a relationship until much later in life, you know, the Bible was nothing to me. It was just a book. It was just literature and meant nothing to me. But it was the brother that ministered to me and just said, he quoted a verse, you know, from Jeremiah that I, even years later, never understood the meaning of that verse and how much impact and how powerful that was to me. And that was that God has a plan and a purpose for my life, not for calamity. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll elaborate more on that a little further in the show continue.
That was your Kairos moment?
Yes.
Man.
It was. It was a Kairos moment because he asked me, do I believe in God? And at the time, you know, I was, God, just the name I use when I cuss, you know what I mean? You know? And then when he asked me that question, it made me have to, because I understood the sincerity. You know, it's like when you guys go up to somebody, and that's what I want our listeners to understand and realize, that when you walk in your purpose, you know, you have so much power and influence on people. You just don't have an idea. And then you don't have to be the one standing at the pulpit. It's behind the scenes that you have just as much power and influence on people.
Yes.
And this guy, no one would know who he was other than he just asked me a simple question and said, "Do you believe in God?" He said, "May I ask you a personal question?" And so anyways, that is what caused me to go on to search for the truth at that point in time. Fact versus faith, you know, and that's when I started the journey of faith right there to understand who is God. But it was because of what I saw in him that made me, it compelled me to have to sit down and say, "Whoa, wait a minute." You know, I had to contemplate the question. And then his next question was, "Well, why don't you get to know him?" That's him. You know what I mean? So, I mean, and in the search for the truth, because, you know, I had all these, you know, we have bondage, we have strongholds, and we have believed so many lies that is sometimes hard to tell. You know what I mean? The lie is just as powerful as the truth if you believe it. Amen. So you don't have to mute your mic. Come talk to me. You know, I mean, we're going back and forth here. I want our listeners to understand that we're in this together.
Yeah,
we're going to unpack it, right, Brother Wiley? We're going to unpack this thing together, and we're just going to figure it all out.
Yeah.
And we'll get there, you know, and God will show you what is the truth.
Yeah. It's so interesting, right, that we all are in Romans 1, you know, like right there, 120, you took it up to 18, Brother Wiley came in at 25, just right there. So if there is someone listening to this, that's a good passage to start with. Mm-hmm. Like, read Romans and just, because like you said, Paul was in Rome at that time and he was a Roman himself. So it's more like coming back now to tell his people that this is what I have come to find out to be true, you know, and knowing all the idolatry and everything that was happening at that time. So yes, it's really, and another thing too, right, is I think Christians sometimes, it's almost like we are afraid of letting people question the word of God. Like, "Oh, you question me, told that, that's you, you." God's word can stand any scrutiny. Go ahead and examine it. His word is truth. It's not, we should have enough faith that God is stronger than our ability to make arguments for Christianity. And that is evident in his word.
But now the world now, that's the whole point of this topic, fact versus faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can look at so many different instances in the Bible where you're going to say, "Come on, man, that's just a fairy tale." You know, I mean, how's a man going to get swallowed up by a whale? Come on. You know, and then you're going to spit him back out like he had a bad taste or something. You know, I mean, or how is it that three guys are going to get thrown in a fire and then come out not even smelling that smoke? Come on, you got to be kidding me. And just so many different stories that are there. Or how's David going to beat a giant like that? A little boy going to beat a giant like that? And I'm sure that you have people, but there's a scripture where Jesus said, "Blessed is he who believes and is not seen." You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. When he was talking to Thomas. Yep.
That's right. Doubting Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it, man. You know, there are so many different times and there's so many different situations in life that we're going to face that you're going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged. And then that's where do you stand at that point in time? Where do you stand? You know, what are you going to believe? You know, we can believe the report that man says, or we can believe God's word and what he says. And our prayer is that as we continue down this road on the spoken verity, that we'll answer a lot of those questions that you may have that you may not have asked anyone. And I encourage you, if you have something that's on your mind and you just may be embarrassed or whatever the situation may be, please feel free to reach out to us and we will answer whatever that question is to the best of our ability as God gives it to us. So I want to move to the next thing, because here's where it starts to get a little more where the rubber meets the road in your faith. Medical miraculous healings. How can you explain it in your own experience and understanding? Medical miraculous healings. For when God chooses to let that happen, how would you answer that, Brother Wiley?
You made a statement, when God chooses to let that happen. Well, first of all, he already chose it. And I think that that's something that our listeners need to understand. He did that through Jesus Christ. So when scripture says, by his stripes, you were healed, there's no additional choice that God needs to make. The choice is on you to receive what's already been given to you. So that's the first thing in terms of that. So God's already made the choice. It's not on him. It's on you to receive. Now, there may be a process that you specifically need to go through in the receiving. And I think that comes with the relationship of Holy Spirit, but he's already chosen it. Now, whether it's an actual miracle in terms of it happening instantaneously, or it's a miracle that happened like the woman with the issue of blood. It took 12 years, but when she touched the hem of Jesus's garment, she was made whole. That was a miracle. Sometimes people think miracles are, I'm sick immediately, then I get well immediately. That can happen, but that's not always what a miracle means. It's a complete turnaround from where you were to where God has purposed you in terms of your healing. So you were sick one day, and now you're well. That's a miracle. That's the change. That's the healing. So, you know, and I wanted to touch on something that you had mentioned in the first question. In Romans 1, when there's other pieces of that chapter that address other issues that we will be discussing, specifically homosexuality, that Romans 1 talks about that in great detail in terms of it not, first of all, it being a choice and not where you were born, but that's another episode. What I really wanted to focus on was that there are so many other things that our listeners can look at when listening and reading Romans 1 specifically that'll allow them to be able to see not just what we were talking about, but go into depth of some other things and some other places that they were maybe searching for and looking for in terms of answers. So going back to this question, Holy Spirit said through David in Psalms 107:20 that he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. These are all past tense words. It's not that he's sending or he's healing or he's delivering. It's he sent, he healed, he delivered. And in verse 21, it says that, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Healing and praise should go hand in hand. When you receive that healing, the miraculous healing, it should be something that you praise God for. Remember the healing of the 10 lepers. Only one came back for Thanksgiving. So when David says that we should be praising God for his goodness and for his wonderful works, take that to heart. Know that when you get this miraculous healing, whether it came instantaneously or it was something that you had to, as a process that you needed to go through, because Holy Spirit is using that to strengthen you for another purpose or something else that would bless other people, praise him as you're going through it. You know, in episode 1, I mentioned the scripture that says the wicked aren't thankful. So when you're praising him, praise him for what he's done in your life. The last part of your question was, how do you explain your own experience and understanding? And I know I've talked about this off air, but when I was young, there's two that are indelible in my mind of experiences of healing. And the first one was I woke up with water blisters. And I don't know if you all are familiar with what those are, but they're raised whelps. They're full of water. And I literally had them all over my body from the top of my head. And it wasn't just the soles of my feet. It was everywhere, every place that you can imagine. I had water blisters. And my mother, the powerful woman of prayer, and my father, both in agreement, spoke against it. I was young at the time. So, you know, sometimes you need a proxy in terms of that and someone that's standing in the gap for you. And my parents did that. And we prayed the prayer of agreement for my healing. And the next morning it was gone. Literally, there was no rubbing of ointments. There was no going and visiting doctors. There was none of that. It was simply taking hold of what our Father did through Jesus Christ on the cross. That was it. And therein was the manifestation. And I praised him for it. I still think about that to this day, just being able to see that, and it strengthens my faith. I don't rock around in sickness and disease. When I don't feel well or it attempts to come, it's very rare. But when it happens, I immediately speak to it. And within a matter of moments, it's gone. And I'm not saying that from a prideful position. I'm just simply saying it's just gotten down into my spirit. And so when I hear it spoken by other people, it may or may not be there. I attempt to encourage them in that, to make sure that they're watching their words. Your words have so much power. And when he said he sent his word and healed them, the word of God can be spoken from one place to another, and it has power as it travels to wherever you send it to. So you have to be very careful about the words that you're speaking when you're standing for your healing. And the last piece of that for me was when I was younger, there was a party for a young boy at the school, and all throughout the week, everybody was excited about going to this party. And I begged my parents to go. I needed to go. It was going to be a slumber party. We started off at, for any of the Houstonians that are listening, we started off at Fame City, and Fame City was the place to be when you were young. It was one of those funplex, multiplex centers that you could do everything, bowl and arcades and what have you. And so that was what we were doing. That was it. Everybody was going to be there, and then we were going to go back to his house, and the family was going to be there. Everybody was going to be there and celebrate his birthday. Well, when the time came to come, I was the only one that showed up. Everybody, I was thinking that everybody was going to be there, and it was just me for this party. And as soon as I got in there, I started seeing things on the wall, things moving, things looking like it's just dark spots. And I didn't know what that was. I had heard about things, but as I started continuing to look, I immediately looked at this as something that wasn't right. And at that moment, when I recognized what I was looking at, I started to get hot, like super hot. I was running a high fever. And at that moment, I knew I had to get out of there, because I knew nobody around me was going to understand what was happening, because I was in someone else's house and nobody else was affected. Called my parents. You know, this was obviously before cell phones, so it took some time for them to get back, pick me up. And within, they prayed again. Within a matter of an hour or so, the fever was broken. Again, instant miraculous healings. So again, the main piece of answering this question was, watch what you're saying, understand that you're already healed, learn how to receive that, and going to the word helps you do that.
Amen. Brother Remy, how do you
medical explain miraculous healings?
Medical
right.
Miraculous
yeah, healings. How do you explain that? I haven't had medical miraculous healing. I've had people that have experienced that. People close to me, probably can't share because I would need their permission to do that. But I guess I'll answer the question saying that I believe in it, even if I haven't had the experience. And I believe in it because, you know, the healing is the children's bread, like we say, right? It's something that I'm supposed to expect as a Christian, because Christ said, and I think Brother Wiley touched on this scripture, that by his stripes we were healed. You know, it's already happened, He went on the cross and took all on his infirmities, was laid on him, as Isaiah said. So I believe that is what is supposed to happen to a Christian. A personal experience? No, I haven't had that, but I believe that to be true.
Amen. You know, I just think that sometimes we tend to forget one of the most fundamental aspects of reality for us, and that is we are born in a sinful nature. And just because we get born again and we now in a good relationship and right standing with God, our bodies are deteriorating, and that happens. We live in a sinful world. So we can't forget that, you know, and I think there's a book I would recommend by Watchman Nee. He wrote a book called The Spiritual Man, and he talks about this topic. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very profound of what he says about it. And it may be controversial for some, but there are cases in the Bible where people have not experienced death. And so we can also flip that question the other way, because that is one of the harsh realities and the hard truths that we have to face as believers. It doesn't always turn out hunky-dory. It doesn't always turn out that way. And we see an example of that with King David and Bathsheba. When the baby David was fasting and praying that God would spare the child, and the baby died. So what did King David do? He had resolved in himself to accept, okay, God, you made that decision for us, and so be it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Like Job, another example, where all his family was wiped out, lost everything. And how did he respond to that? You know, he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And it may be that way. And so we can't, God may have healed or he may not have.
Yeah, I hear you on that, brother. Let me jump in real quick. And I understand where you're coming from, but you used two examples, but you didn't go to the root. The root of the first one was the sin of adultery or fornication that David had with Bathsheba that produced this child. So it wasn't so much that God decided it. Our sin, there are spiritual laws that are out here that we can't just flaunt whenever we feel like it and then say, well, maybe God did or he didn't. No, you made the choice. Now, sure, God could say in his grace and mercy that the baby will live, but you set up the sin, the death cycle, when you committed the sin. So there are things that are in there that we have to be careful of in terms of putting this all at God's doorstep and saying he's the reason. Well, that's not always necessarily the case. Personal responsibility of the creation is very important as well. And in that second part, the enemy was allowed to do those things by God. So again, there was still an impetus, because if the enemy never came, then the things that happened to Job, at least in the way that it occurred in scripture, wouldn't have happened in that way. So we have to be very, very careful about that. God is not writing pain. He's not authoring challenges from the standpoint of to hurt you. Whatever we go through in life, as scripture says, all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. So we want to be, because if you don't believe that about our God, you're not going to come to him during pains and trials and tribulations. You're going to think he's the author of it, and you may not do it this time, or you may do it this time. Why would I go to anybody that is not going to do and deliver me in these places if I don't believe that? So that's when I hear that, and that may be very well what you're saying, brother. I'm just saying I want to make sure that our listeners are clear. Mm-hmm. We know each other, and so we know our hearts, but they may not. And so I just wanted to kind of provide some clarity on that.
Got you. So, anything else from you by chance?
Oh, no, I'm good.
Yeah, okay. So we'll move on to the last question I want to ask. And Brother Wiley already touched on some of it, but let's talk about some impossible situations and circumstances. You know, reflect on those times that you saw the Lord in your life in those situations, Brother Remy. Reflect on those times and just share with us how, what got you through it.
Looking over life, right, walking with Christ, there's a whole lot you can, that I can pull from and say, oh, but one that is fresh and was still walking through is that we had a stillborn birth, right? And it's interesting that when I share this or when I meet people that are aware of what we went through, you hear, yo, you are so strong. Oh, you guys are. And in my quiet time, I'm like, where are they seeing the strength? But it's your question about, okay, the Lord at work in my life. That's one point I can look at where he is becoming that strength that we can rely on, that we can draw strength from. And we do that by trusting his heart, right? Believing that he is who he says he is. So, like I said, we're walking through it. It's on Tuesday, we'll make it just 3 months that this happened. So we're still in the process of it. But one thing that has kept us through this is just that belief that God is God, that he loves us, right? But I already touched about certain things where the enemy can, where God gives the enemy a chance, you know, to, I think they're talking, I may be wrong here, but there's two kind of wills where, okay, God allows it and or God permits it kind of sort of, right, with our lives and allows certain things to happen or permits certain things to happen. But we don't believe that that came from God. So in how we've been able to walk with that again, or how we are walking through that right now, it's leaning on him. It's going to him with our questions, going to him with tears, going to him with everything that we're feeling, not running away from him, but we're doing that because our belief, our trust in him is not predicated on what we're going through. So God is not God based on Remy situation, based on my current circumstances. God is God all by himself, right? So if I was opportune to be invited to Dr. Maxwell, I think it's John Maxwell, that's his name, right? The leadership, yeah, okay. So he was sharing about Christmas. And he was like, what do you do when you follow a star and get to a stable? Because the Prince of Peace is about to be born, the King of the world, the government will be on his shoulders, you know? So this has to be this big event. But it wasn't in the palace. Herod didn't know. It was like, okay, where is this happening? They ended up coming to a stable to find it, right? So the interesting thing that he said, and I pulled from that, is despite the three wise men coming to a stable instead of a palace, they still brought to God what they had in their hands. You know, it's almost like, okay, if I take ourselves as those three wise men, like we're searching this king that's about to come. He's not in the palace. He ends up being born in a stable. You know, stable, it's pretty much like where you have food for animals, and that's where the king of the world is born. So, yeah, you know, we had gold, frankincense, and myrrh to present. Yeah, let's just go ahead and maybe give a little rich rub or something, you know, because we were expecting that these presents are meant for the king. So I'm saying that to say they still gave God what they were bringing to give God, regardless of where they found him or where they met him, right? So in our journey that we're walking through now, God is God. If our baby was here with us, it would be praise and worship. Our baby is not here with us, it's praise and worship. We still bring to God what it was, in what our intention was. So the circumstances won't change. Like, well, you know, we had a stillbirth, so we won't praise him. No. Regardless of being on top of the mountain or in the valley, it doesn't, my position doesn't change who God is. He's sovereign. But yeah.
Thank you, brother, for sharing that. Brother Wiley?
You know, Brother Remy touched on, you know, a scenario that is not always explainable. If we could explain everything, then we'd be God. And we can't explain everything. So, you know, as listeners listen to our podcast, please keep that in the frame of your mind, the front of your mind, that we're not attempting to answer every question because we can't. We're the creation. We're not the creator. But we'll do our best as Holy Spirit allows us to. And, you know, as Brother Remy and his family continues to walk through that, you know, he knows he has his brothers standing with him. It's something that God is working through with them, and he'll show his glory like he always does because he's God, and Brother Remy and family are his children. And so this, thank you for doing that, for sharing that, Brother Remy. You know, my family and I have just come out of an approximate 20-month journey, and it was something that it was very difficult from the standpoint of being in a place of uncertainty just for a basic need. And it took a lot longer than what we anticipated. You know, we've lived in a certain way, in a certain lifestyle for so long. And there were some things that we were not able to do within our lifestyle, just in our normal course of doing things. And there's a lot of things that we learned, but the couple of things that were really important to us in terms of how we reflect and we reposition, it does not change who God is for us. And if we allow circumstances, which are subject to change and will change, even if it's just simply going from day to day, yesterday was Friday, today is Saturday, those are different days. Even if it's just simply that, understanding that he is still God, that you are his child, and knowing you and him being sovereign, knowing that you will make decisions, he's already allowed for those decisions to take place. And so he has a way for you and your family if you will stay with him. I am not, and I know Paul said this, there is nothing that will keep me from the love of God. And going through these things, I was taught, and say taught, this was a reiteration of things. These were things that we knew. Patience is the first thing. Like patience, people look at patience as something that's almost like a bad word. Nobody wants to be patient. We live in an instant society, 24-hour news, instant ramen. I know I went a huge dynamic between the two, but my point is that we want everything yesterday. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to go through the process. And when we are patient, we also are to continue instant in prayer. And Romans 12:12 talks about that. So as we're being patient, we need to be praying. Mm-hmm. Prayer is talking to the Father. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, in these forms of, you know, oh, Father God and all the King James language, if you want to call it. You don't necessarily have to do that. Just come to him. compassion was something else that he showed me. Of everything that we went through, it paled in comparison to what others have gone through. And it made me more sensitive and more empathetic, not sympathy, but empathy in terms of dealing with other people. There were so many things in my life that it wasn't so much that I would discard it, but I wouldn't engage enough. And I learned that later, especially during this time, I would see somebody as opposed to giving them a good word. I would ask more questions to be able to find out, was there more beyond just that? Mm. It kind of goes back to some of the religious things that Brother Arthur was talking about. We can be real quick to give a good word, but that's not really what they needed. Maybe they needed somebody to just sit there and listen. Maybe they needed someone to give them something, maybe a financial thing or whatever. But again, the compassion piece was important for us. And then the last piece of this was humility. When you go through things in life and the things that we've achieved, I told you all that, you know, y'all know that we invest in real estate and we do that through a family trust. And there's been things that we've been able to do within our business that if I told people that they wouldn't believe me. It's just been the grace of God and the things that he showed us. And we've had some huge highs and some very deep lows. And I think that as opposed to this ebb and flow, part of that is humility. You can get really prideful in the things that God has done. And he did it. You didn't do it. You may have put forth effort, but ultimately he's the one that did that. And so it was something that I needed to make sure of. And I'm still doing that to keep the pride away. Scripture says that he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Grace, his unmerited favor. So patience, compassion, and humility were just three of the many lessons of the things that I learned in the times that I saw God working in my life. So that's how I would answer that question.
I want to quickly come in, and there's something that the Lord shared with me during this episode, and I've shared this when we gave our testimony at our church at Lakewood. But, you know, the Holy Spirit was expanding on a passage I've heard from our pastor, Pastor Joe, about, you know, being guided by navigation system, by GPS. And the Holy Spirit started talking about how that navigation system doesn't tell you about the weather. Like, okay, I had to check my weather app today, like, okay, it's supposed to rain, but the navigation won't tell you, like, oh, the rain is pouring, you know, precipitation is at 50%, the wind gust speed is this, or there is a storm heading. The navigation voice is just, in 2 miles, make a right at the stop sign. It's just guiding you. So the Holy Spirit was using that to illuminate my mind about listening to his voice. Regardless of what's happening, just listening. Because again, if we take that navigation system, we trust it, right? That's why, hey, I'm going to Brother Otto's house for lunch, or I'm coming to Brother Wally for dinner. I'll just type that address in and take me there, because I trust that you, Waze or Google Maps or Apple Maps, whatever it is, you have the capability to take me to this address. So I have that trust in Christ that he is not just able, but willing to guide me through life. So if I stay attentive to his voice, if I just continue to listen to him, irrespective of what's happening, irrespective of how things are going, just trusting and making sure that I am sensitive to that voice, and I pray for the strength and courage to just obey him. Yeah.
Amen.
I just wanted to add.
And I know we're getting short on time here, so I just want to say this, that for me, the facts, you know, fact versus faith, you know, which is the topic of this is, and I'm going to wrap it all up like this. I mentioned that someone came to me and asked me, do I believe in God? So I'll say that when I was asked that question, I was literally in a 6x9 cell serving prison time, incarcerated with an aggravated life sentence and 119 years stacked. I was never, ever supposed to be released from prison. And it was the prosecutor who had came to ask me that question, who ministered to me and changed the course of my life forever. And against all odds, even despite spending 15 and a half years in a 6x9 cell, solitary confinement, and serving 27 years in prison, I walked out against all odds. And there were moments in there while I was incarcerated, on paper, I was never going to be released from prison. And when I came up for a parole interview, for being reviewed for release, the first time I came up, it was an absolutely no way, you ain't ever getting out. And it was at that moment in time that my faith deepened, because I had to take on the position of, okay, well, Lord, I am responsible for some bad things that have happened. And I accept that. So God, if you want me to die in prison, so be it. I will serve you as if I am free. You understand what I'm saying? And it's a hard truth. You know, it's not what I wanted, but I accepted it. And yet, literally 7 years later, against all odds, God delivered me from prison to come out and continue to set the world on fire for Jesus.
Amen.
You know, and then even in business, God's blessed us with the opportunity to use our business as a ministry. Well, we lost everything. Didn't even have the money to be able to try to make it. But yet God brought people into our lives that helped us to get by that and keep moving forward. And I always say to everyone, you know, this is not my business. I'm just a steward of it. It belongs to God. So if we succeed, praise God. If it doesn't succeed, praise God. You know, but there was something that Brother Wiley had said that made me think of it. And here's a way to look at it, of how we can see how much of an influence we have on people. And because words do matter. If we speak words of faith or something else. If you talk to somebody and you give them criticism, you can see what comes out of that. Now, it's different. If it's constructive criticism, it's different. But I like using, like, the employees. When I work with the employees, praise should be more than criticism on the balance scale.
Right.
Because if it's the other way around, then you need to look at yourself. But look at what can happen when you give someone encouragement. When you speak words of life to somebody, look at what can happen. And the influence that can have, the impact that can have. And especially when people are going through difficult circumstances. Right now, we're going through this COVID-19 coronavirus stuff. People are really, really not handling this well at all. And, you know, we need to try to help each other work through this. And, you know, it's so far reaching. It's a worldwide issue. It's a pandemic. It's not just us. It's everyone going through it all. And so, yeah, God is still moving. And you can see God just continually making things happen. Amen. Over and over in so many different ways. This is the time for us as believers to really be a light in the world and a salt. Amen.
Amen.
Before we close, I do want to give Remy an opportunity to share about our next episode preview.
Yeah.
You don't mind?
So for episode 3, we're going to be discussing trials, the testing of a Christian faith, which is kind of a continuation of your last question to flow into that, especially in this time with the pandemic and all that. Yeah, but episode 3 will be focusing on trials. the testing of a Christian faith.
Amen. Any last words, Brother Wiley?
No. I think that we did what God has called for us to do here, and we spoke it as He gave us utterance to.
Amen. So I do want to say I'd like for us to close off in prayer. We can.
Yes, please.
Father, thank you for this session, Lord. And thank you that you've used us as vessels of honor and instruments of righteousness. We pray our listeners have been encouraged by today, their faith is strengthened, and that there is hope because you, Lord, are worthy of all praise. And Father, you're in control. No matter how it seems, what it looks like, no matter how dark the world may be, whatever is going on, Lord, we just trust in you. We trust in your word. And we thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your unconditional love. In Jesus' name. Thank you for listening to TSV this week. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you use to do so. Please know that we love and care about you. If you haven't believed and received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to do so today. Please go to thespokenverity.fm/salvation to accept the leading of the Holy Spirit and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Until our next encounter, speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth, that is the Word of God in love. All the blessings.